Hello, it is Ryan, and we could all use an extra bright spot in our day, couldn't we? Just to make up for things like sitting in traffic, doing the dishes, counting your steps, you know, all the mundane stuff. That is why I'm such a big fan of Chumba Casino. Chumba Casino has all your favorite social casino style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere with daily bonuses. That should brighten your day a little. Actually, a lot. So sign up now at chumbacasino.com. That's ChumbaCasino.com. No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited
by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus. With Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
This is your captain speaking. We've got clear runway and the weather's fine, but we're just going to circle up here a while and get lucky. No, no, nothing like that. It's just these cash prizes add up quick. So I suggest you sit back, keep your tray table upright, and start getting lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Judy was boring.
Hello.
Then Judy discovered Chumbacasino.com.
It's my little escape.
Now Judy's the life of the party.
Oh, baby, mama's bringing home the bacon.
Whoa, take it easy, Judy. The Chumba life is for everybody. So go to ChumbaCasino.com and play over 100 casino-style games. Join today and play for free for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. Ch-ch-chumba. ChumbaCasino.com. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
It is Ryan here, and I have a question for you. What do you do when you win? Like, are you a fist pumper, a woo-hooer, a hand clapper, a high-fiver? I kind of like the high-five, but if you want to hone in on those winning moves, check out Chumba Casino. At ChumbaCasino.com, choose from hundreds of social casino-style games for your chance to redeem serious cash prizes. There are new game releases weekly, plus free daily bonuses, so don't wait. Start having the most fun ever at ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
This is the Red Sox Precap with your hosts, Keaton DeRocher and Shelley Verstrate. Part of the Over the Monster Podcast Network.
Welcome back to the Red Sox Precap Podcast. Podcast from the Over the Monster Podcast Network, where we recap the series that just ended. Preview the series that's about to start. I'm your host, Keaton DeRocher, joined as always by Shelley Verstrate. Shelley, this was a pretty stressful weekend, but we did it. We made it. We're in the playoffs.
Yes, we did it. Like, I honestly, I don't know how we did it, but we did it.
Each one of those games was so painful.
Yes, yes. I mean, I just can't. Especially on Sunday, like, I was basically under, quote unquote, underneath my couch the entire game, and then I was like, yay, at the end. It was extremely stressful, but it was a really, really exciting weekend.
Yeah, I don't blame you. I was with you. After the sixth inning, I just went and laid down in bed, and then was a lot happier a couple innings later, but I feel you. What a stressful weekend. Red Sox ended the season with a series sweep of the Nationals, coming all the way back from a 5-1 deficit in Game 3. We will get to that. But first, in Game 1, Eduardo Rodriguez versus Josh Rogers. Eduardo Rodriguez managed to go 5 innings, struck out 6. He did walk 3 batters, but didn't give up any runs. What did you think of Eduardo Rodriguez's performance here?
I thought it was okay. Just knowing that as a Red Sox fan, I'm always expecting the worst. So I'm like, oh yeah, we kind of need E-Rod to like really come through, and I just don't really trust him. But he did okay against the Nationals. I just thought it was kind of like an okay outing.
Yeah. The 3 walks is kind of a lot, but the strikeouts were there. Yeah. He didn't give up any runs. He kept them in the game, gave them a chance to win it. Jake Rogers on the other end went 6 innings, gave up 4 earned runs, 3 walks, 3 strikeouts on 7 hits. Red Sox offense had done nothing up until the 6th inning when Hunter Renfroe finally broke it open, hitting a 3-run home run. Bobby Dalbec followed, hitting a solo shot, going back-to-back. And that was all the runs that the Red Sox would get. from those two fellas. The bullpen, though, Brazier, Barnes, Hernandez, Ottavino, and Robles followed. Robles made it interesting in the ninth with a couple walks, but did manage to get the save. All weekend, it really kind of felt like it was all hands on deck. There was a lot of guys that got used like 3 days in a row. Robles, I think, went 4 out of 5 days here by the end of the series. What did you think of the bullpen's usage and performance here over the weekend?
I thought that the performance was okay, just knowing that the guys that they have there, but you could definitely see that Cora was like, I am just like so scared of leaving any starter out there. Let's just try to win all the games however we can. I don't care. And that's just really how I saw the entire weekend. We're just trying to just push for any type of win.
On the last Red Seat podcast a week ago, Jake and I talked about Matt Barnes, and I had said that I wanted to see a lot of Matt Barnes over these last six games to actually figure out if you're going to be able to use him in the playoffs. Jake thought I was crazy, and he didn't want to see much of Matt Barnes in must-win games at all. Cora, though, decided to go the other way, and Matt Barnes did get a lot of usage in these last six games. And he seemed to do all right. He did give up an earned run in this one, game one of the series here with no strikeouts, no walks. Where is your confidence level in Matt Barnes right now? And who should be the closer for the Red Sox?
Oh boy. That is a, those are two hard questions. I feel like okay with Barnes. He did okay this weekend, but obviously he is not what he was in like the first half of the season. But who is closer, honestly? Can we just like have like a die that has every single reliever on it and he rolls it and that is the closer? Because I don't think that we have a closer, because I don't think that there is any like lockdown guy in this bullpen. So I just think it's kind of whoever kind of manages to find the ninth inning is our closer.
I think I agree with you. Obviously, Hansel Robles has gotten the call most recently, but you don't feel great with him going out there, especially with his control. He's still walking a lot of guys, so it doesn't make it feel like it's really locked down, but he has been able to get through it as of late. Red Sox win game one, 4-2. Game two, Tanner Houck versus Josiah Gray. Houck went 5 innings with 8 strikeouts, no walks, no hits. Man was throwing a perfect game when he got pulled in the fifth. Where are you with Houck long term? Is he a reliever, or do you think he should get a chance to start?
Yeah, I mean, I put this question on the pre-pro because, I mean, we were talking about this like during the game. Honestly, I still view him as a reliever. I mean, yeah, in this particular game, he was just so, so good. I mean, he went 5 innings, 8 Ks, no walks. Like, this was, like, the peak Houck that you want. But we haven't really seen this before. So, I mean, I still think that he's a reliever long-term. And yeah, so I'm just really not looking at this start as something to like really build my confidence.
I still think he can start, and it's mainly because, so like coming into the year, he was a 3-pitch pitcher with just that absolutely devastating slider. But then he learned the sinker this season, and he's been using it a lot more lately to more results, kind of giving him a more well-rounded 4-pitch arsenal. I think that can start. I'm not expecting, I mean, this good. I'm throwing, you know, 5 perfect innings going out there, but it gives me more confidence in him being able to get through starting, you know. And then, you know, he was ultimately pulled here because he was leading off the 6th inning and it was a 1-run game in a National League ballpark, which is like, come on, National League, get your shit together. We need a DH here. So if it was a home game, he probably would have kept going. I'm not sure how much longer, but with four pitches, I think that should be enough for him to get into a third time through the order and get to the sixth and seventh inning, and I think that he could be a starter. We'll see. After that, though, so he gets pulled in the fifth or in the sixth inning after five perfect innings with Boston up 1-0. Garrett Richards pitched an inning, clean inning. Ryan Brazier was able to get out of a bit of a, gave up a couple hits and a walk, but got a couple strikeouts, got out of it. Adam Ottavino then gave up a run. Austin Davis gave up two runs. And then in the ninth inning, Red Sox blew it open with the bats to give the Red Sox a 5-3 win. Enrique Hernandez was the big-time bat. He went 2-for-4 with two RBIs, had a nice little game for himself. Then on to today, Game 3. Chris Sale versus Adon, making his Major League debut, 23-year-old rookie who had pitched in AA and AAA. This was such a weird start for Chris Sale. He was able to get through only 2 1/3 innings, but all seven of those outs were strikeouts. Four hits, three walks. The control just wasn't there. It gave up two earned runs. Quick hook getting him out of the game in the third inning. What did you think of Sale's performance today?
Yeah, I mean, I don't know, because, I mean, I was watching the game, and you could tell that he wasn't crisp. I mean, he wasn't like Chris Sale. Yeah, he was getting the strikeouts, but I was watching him like, yeah, I don't know how he's getting these strikeouts, because he is not, quote-unquote, Chris Sale. I'm kind of glad that he made it through the innings that he did, but, yeah, I was... Yeah, this wasn't the Chris Sale that I expected.
No. I mean, the strikeouts, for sure. Like, coming in and getting it, but just too many, you know, 2-3 counts. The walk's way too high. And this isn't the first time he's had a start like this season. He has had a couple where he just hasn't really gone very deep. And then has eventually gotten pulled. You have to believe that's probably just Tommy John related, right? And going into next year, the walks will, his control, that'll, all of that will be a lot more crisp, and we'll see, you know, more of the Chris Sale we know and love.
Yeah. I mean, I totally agree. I don't really put this much on him. It's more of, he hasn't really, yeah, it's just him coming back from TJ.
Yeah. Sarmura followed pitching an inning in 2/3, giving up one hit and a strikeout, and then Garrett Richards pitching for the third time in 4 days ran into a whole lot of trouble. Two walks, two hits, gave up three earned runs, only one strikeout. And at this point, you kind of have to start thinking, oh, dear Lord, we're going to have at least one play-in game to play. And Rafael Devers said, not so fast. Two home runs on the day for Devers in the big seventh inning where the Red Sox scored three runs to tie it. Contributions from Alex Verdugo getting a hit. And a couple RBIs, Vasquez as well. The bats finally woke up. How good does that make you feel, I guess? They were able to finally get some runs together, particularly from the middle of the order. Bogaerts had a weird series. I think he had three walks in the first game, three walks in the second game. Wasn't necessarily getting the hits, but he was getting on base. Devers, obviously, a couple home runs. J.D. Martinez, until he tripped over second base and had to be removed from today's game, was looking good. How much confidence do you have in the bats going into this one-game playoff now?
I still feel kind of okay-ish. I mean, because, I mean, we were still, like, hoping and praying against the Nationals, right? Like, we definitely should have had more runs against the Nationals. Devers just, like, totally did it today. On his second home run, I scared poor Soto. Soto the Frenchie, not Soto the right fielder, with my screams. So, yeah, I mean, honestly, our offense should be better against someone like the Nationals. And I'm just kind of scared about going forward if our offense can kind of get together.
Yeah, I'm with you. They should have scored more. They really struggled against Baltimore, too. They've just not done well against poor pitching. And this offense is just far too good for that. And I want to have more hope in them, but they're not going to face poor pitching in the playoffs. However long their run lasts, everyone that they play is going to be really good. So it's frustrating to see them do this poorly against Baltimore and Washington and now have to face Garrett Cole and feel confident in what they're doing. But bullpen after Garrett Richards, Martin Perez came in, was able to pitch a nice inning. Garrett Whitlock activated today. One inning, two strikeouts. He looked great. Eduardo Rodriguez in a relief appearance, credited with the win, pitched the eighth and Pivetta the ninth for the save. Now, you had this note on Erod's start in game one, but obviously that was before he came in relief today. So I'll ask it now. Was this relief appearance the last time we see Eduardo Rodriguez on the mound for the Red Sox?
Ha! Going up against the Yankees, yeah, I think it is. I honestly, I don't trust the offense enough to get past the Yankees, which makes me super uber sad. And yep. Then I do think that Eddie gets a better quote unquote offer somewhere else to kind of move on.
I think I'm with you, which is a bummer, but through no fault of his own, I just think the Red Sox offense is still struggling too much for them to make a move here past New York. We will dive into that, though. We'll take a quick break, come back and preview the wild card play-in game, or not play-in game, wild card one-game playoff against the Yankees.
With Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
This is your captain speaking. We've got clear runway and the weather's fine, but we're just going to circle up here a while and get lucky. No, no, nothing like that. It's just these cash prizes add up quick. So I suggest you sit back, keep your tray table upright, and start getting lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus terms and conditions apply. See website for details. With Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
This is your captain speaking. We've got clear runway and the weather's fine, but we're just going to circle up here a while and get lucky. No, no, nothing like that. It's just these cash prizes add up quick. So I suggest you sit back, keep your tray table upright, and start getting lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
All right. Your final up-to-the-minute standings of the regular season here. American League East. Tampa Bay wins it. 8 games over Boston and New York. 9 games over Toronto. 48 over Baltimore. The wild card, Boston, gets the top spot, holding the tiebreaker over the Yankees, who get the second spot in the wild card. Toronto fell 1 game short, Seattle 2. But it sure was a fun weekend of baseball. So all of that means Boston hosts New York on Tuesday in the wild card play-in game. Pitching matchup for that game is Nathan Eovaldi versus Garrett Cole. What do you think of that matchup?
I'm totally going to pop some popcorn. It's going to be great. I feel good about it. Eovaldi has pitched well outside of that last game against the Yankees. He's pitched well against the Yankees and has pitched well at home. I'm totally, I am totally on board the Eovaldi train. I think that we can make it past the Yankees for the wild card, going forward. That's a different story, but I think that we can win this game. What say you?
I do too. I think it's going to be real tough, though. What gives me hope, yeah, though, is that Rafael Devers has owned Garrett Cole this year. He's already got a couple home runs off him. He's not afraid of Garrett Cole at all. And I think if he has a good day and is just kind of himself against Cole, that might be enough offense. They may not need anything beyond that, but that could also kind of like trickle down to some of the other guys in the middle of the order and get them going. It's not going to be easy. It's going to be tough. It's not a great matchup for the Red Sox, but it is, like you mentioned, it is at home. Eovaldi has been pitching great, both against the Yankees and at home. It is going to be a hell of a game. It kind of makes you wish there was just more than one game, but that's what we got here. Aaron Boone, though, was getting a bunch of crap on Twitter yesterday for not starting Cole today. That paid off, though, because now we've got Garrett Cole going for the one-game playoff in Fenway Park, and this should be a heck of a game. I'm going to go with Devers as my series MVP. As I mentioned, I just think he's owned Garrett Cole, and I think he can do it again.
I'm definitely going to take Devers as MVP, because it just always seems Devers always comes up in the clutch, right? Like, he came up in the clutch and this game, and you know, put the Red Sox over the top. Like, he just always comes clutch. So yeah, it's definitely going to be Devers.
Well, that is going to do it for this edition of the podcast, the final regular season recap. We will be with you again later in the week for hopefully not the last episode of the season, but to recap the one-game wildcard playoff against the Yankees, and hopefully look forward to more baseball. Thanks for listening.